It's 10 o'clock. It's Tuesday, 22nd of September, and you're listening to the Circle Day Show with Donnacha DeLung on Resonance FM.
Through the best of times, through the worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you don't parry. Yo, baby, what's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched again.
A year ago, everyone was watching what was going on in Rojava in Syria. A group called the YPG, connected to the PKK in Turkey, was fighting back against the Islamic State or Daesh or ISIS, whatever you want to call them, and managed to successfully beat them back. The Anarchist Book Fair last year heard from an activist who had been only weeks before to the region to find out what was going on, and he spoke about a new society that was being built. So a year later, I yesterday met with Zahair to talk about what's going on now, what he thinks is happening in the future, and what are the threats they face, and basically why the anarchist movement should give solidarity to the people of Rojava in their battle to create a new society. I met him yesterday in a cafe in Tottenham, and here's what he had to say. The first thing I asked him was to explain a little bit about himself and his background.
Right, okay. My name is Zahir Bahir. I was born in 1952 in Iraqi Kurdistan and came from an ordinary family, Muslim family. But when I reached 13 years old, I left religion and got behind. And when I reached 15, I involved in a student union. And then when I became 17, I was in a political party. At the moment, I was nationalist because I belong to Kurdistan Democratic Party. And when I became 19, in 71, I involved in Maoist organization. And then after a couple of years, we left that and we formed a Marxist-Leninist mainly organization. That was happened until 1978, and by 1978, before 1977, I joined with a few comrades to Communist Party. The fractionists belong to China rather than Russia. And then I was disappointed with them, and we came out from them with a few comrades and formed a Marxist-Leninist organization. And by 1981-82, I really left Leninist, not all totally, but at least this nationalist idea of the Leninist, that side of the Leninist. And by 1984 and 85, I was suspicious about the power, even the Marx calling about which is the dictatorship of proletariat or worker. And then in 1986, when I came to this country, I get close to SWP and reading their paper, going to their meeting and seeing their leader. They tried very, very hard to recruit me, but they couldn't, and I left them. And in 1991, when I started working, I became very active in union. At the time, I think it was NALDO, because I was working for local authority Harambee. And then I started reading. I realized through close observation of the working class, which is we didn't know the working class is here, like that, basically. And I realized that whatever we believe in there just wasn't right. And getting closer to anarchist and libertarian idea without calling myself that. However, by 2000, I completely came off from Marxist. And by 2005, with a friend of mine, close friend of mine, we formed Kurdistan Anarchist Forum. That was it. And since then, I've been 2007, I involved with the Haringey Solidarity Group, and still I am with the Haringey Solidarity Group and Kurdistan Anarchist Forum.
Okay, so that's your background. Now, I saw you last year at the Anarchist Book Fair talking about the situation in Syria and Kurdistan. At the time, there was obviously the conflict going on with Daesh, and the YPG was suddenly coming to the attention of the world as, at that time, the only military organisation that had managed to actually push back Daesh, as they were running freely across Iraq and Syria, as it seemed. And some of the things about that, particularly women fighters on the front line, were impressing people. But what you spoke about is actually what was happening behind that and attempts to build a new society. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think at the time, I'm talking about the time I was there, although I'm closely following the situation, but obviously it's not like that. We are there because I still receive a report and letter and email from comrades there. But as you know, there are a different opinion about them. But I think still they there. Even if it's something slightly changes, you might come to it later on. And still, it's a miles ahead. Arab Spring or any other nationalist movement or liberal movement. Well, basically that society was when I saw it, at the time there wasn't the threat from ISIS, especially the part when I went there. There was a threat of the ISIS still was happening in a part of Al Jazeera and also in Kobani, but wasn't that dangerous. Before was, there was some sort of fighting between them, and they cleared the area from them. So that's why I'm saying there was no things. And we could see three, four things was very, very important, which makes me very happy when I saw the situation. One thing is basically the woman issue. And obviously, I don't need to talk about it because I think majority of people knows what happened, especially through the fighting with the ISIS in Kobani. And the second thing is the people there, or let's make it clearer, I mean the self-administration, democratic self-administration, and the TEFDEM, which is the movement of democratic society, they never ever work on religion. And in fact, they work on diluting religion. And that is another issue which was for me very important. And the third one, basically, and rejecting the democratic parliamentary system. And they believe in the democratic direct democracy, and also they didn't call themselves, or they don't call themselves, they are anarchist or libertarian or whatever, but they were against power, against authority, against state. So that is another issue there. And apart from that, basically, I was very pleased when I saw them. They are set up, the local groups, and that on a different levels. And that, obviously, in the end, they set up the assembly, the People's Assembly, or they call it House of People, on the level of the village, on the level of the area, on the level of the thing. So basically all and also they have a communes group. They have so many different groups working on a different levels in a different area, from education, economic, and also social, and even they have a group for reconciliation between the people. And so this group was, they made the decision. And they made the decision, and they put the decision before the democratic self-administration to implement that decision, because basically they were obliged to do to implement all this decision. And at the time, there was very well balance between the self-administration, democratic self-administration, and the TEFDEM, the movement for a democratic society. So That is another thing which is, I mean, that I saw on the society, and I could expect that this is going to going forward and receiving so much solidarity and support from the leftists, communists, anarchists, libertarians, socialists around the world.
There have been some within the anarchist movement who have criticized the movement, described it basically in terms of not, I suppose, not being their ideal of what a movement would be. How would you respond to people who are from here or, you know, other countries criticizing what's going on?
I think people criticizing that movement in a different view or in a different background, and some of them are really very, very unfair and just simply accusation, and some of them is there is a true thing is there. And especially I have seen some criticism from Lipcom. I mean, I accept some of them, which is sad, but in the end, what I do not accept it, I mean, people do not look at the situation in an open-minded and just simply what they wanted, what we wanted, that has to be implemented. But that cannot be happened. They needed to look at where this movement has come from, emerging, and secondly, and how, why this movement is came up from the area, the region, for the last 30, 40 years, there is a war, you know, and it's a very, very backward society. And in fact, in the area which we call Rojava or Syrian Kurdistan, there is no a huge factory, no huge company, and also the government is ignored for the last 55 years, since 1960s, after 1960, when they set up the policy of Green Belt, which is economically, politically, and in terms of education and socially affected the area. So you have to consider this sort of things. They talk about the working class. Obviously, in their definition, which is the definition of the Marxists, you cannot find the working class there. You can see worker, but it's not really that, because it's majority of people, they are peasants, they work in the farm, and the small they have a small shop or the small trade, and doing this sort of things, or they are employed by the local authority, by the government, you know, this sort of things has happened there. Well, second thing is basically, and they needed to look at the changes that happened there. I mean, they cannot, I mean, some organization like PKK, which is a political party behind this event or the experiment, and PYD, PAEDA, as well, you cannot expect them straight away came up from who they done it. I mean, in a matter of 2 years or 3 years, everything is they believe that previously they rejected. Because this movement, one of the much more strongest movement and very, very popular. They have a million people behind them. You cannot convince a million people that, sir. You cannot just turn everything, reject everything, especially political party, and say, we don't need a political party. And instead you say, we don't need a national. Although they frankly now, they are against the nationalism. They don't believe in nation state at all, any of them. Even if you go to Rojava, speak to ordinary people, they don't say that. They don't believe that. They believe in confederalism, which is of course is not clear for them, but they know is the basic idea about confederalism, and they know why the confederalism is a medicine for them rather than a nation state or whatever is formed. So that is another thing. Is basically that's why the people is criticizing it, and on the top of that, I mean, you can see. They think that movement has not been transferred completely from the military movement to a social movement, which is I agree with that. I mean, the movement needed to be social movement rather than military movement, because the military movement does not get you anywhere. And also always this military movement, as all of us know, and basically bring a disaster. and whatever has been achieved by the social movement, and in the end we will lose even that, not gain more. So, but however, again, we needed to look at the history of the PKK or PYD, and also you have to look at the history of the governance of the Turkey. Unfortunately, so far, whatever the government was in Turkey in power, they never ever done any fundamental things for the Kurdish people to defeat, for instance, let's say the PKK movement, or at least to let the people not to go to basically to join PKK. In fact, one of the political policy what they have, the government have, was pushing people by using force, by imprisoning them, by torturing them, by arresting them, pushing them to join PKK. So again, I mean, while we have something like that, we cannot straight away in a short term basically abandon the military movement. So there are so many factors and so many reasons why we are not supporting it. And on, apart from that, some of them say, look, we know we have other experience in somewhere else. Definitely that's how the direction goes. We cannot talk about the future because nobody knows what will be happening there. Nobody thought the ISIS is emerged in such a huge forces and power forces and been, you know, occupy almost half of and almost the land is of Iraq. I mean, if we combine the land under their control in Syria and Iraq, it's almost as much as the land of Iraq. Yeah. And they are not actually getting weaker. You know, so we cannot predict anything for the future. So, however, I think at the moment, we needed to support. The movement in Rojava, because at the moment we don't have anything is better than that. At least, as I said, I'm going back to main point, at least they believe in a revolution which has happened from the bottom of the society. They believe in the women's issue, which is they made a great, great job. If you look at the Middle East, how they treat women, how they position women in that society. And again, people has got a tendency of anti-power, tendency of rebellions, you know, tendency of challenging. All the things, you should not let it die, you know, and we have to support it. And I'm sure even if this movement is taking different direction or by military basically suppressed or oppressed, and again the people there will not accept that, and again rising up again is the things, because at least they have over a couple of years, they have a 2.5 years that experience, they control their own issue, they make the decision, and they got rid of the reactionary culture, you know, this sort of thing. So for this reason and for many other reasons, we need to support it until we find out where's the direction. When the direction actually, if we knew the direction taking a different route as we want it, that's we would draw ourselves. I mean, that does not mean basically, that's a possibility, we have to leave it. No, because it's our responsibility to do that. Probably they need it. I think definitely they need more of our support and solidarity than any other time, because this is the way we can do it. If it's in here, if we do not push them to take a right direction, obviously if we leave them alone, they might take a wrong direction.
Okay, in terms of the military, obviously they're still in a situation where Daesh is virtually surrounding them. On the one side, where they're not being surrounded, the Turkish tanks are lined up on the border. With Erdogan right now engaged in increasing attacks on the Kurdish population in Turkey, but also talking about creating a safe zone, which would probably involve, in his mind, suppressing the YPG, who he claims are terrorists. So do you think it's unrealistic in particular for people to make those criticisms of the military side when actually there is a need for a military side at the moment to protect what, and as we saw in Kobane, it was very effective. If it hadn't been for the military side, that would probably be in ISIS's hands.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have a live experience basically, which is in 1991 in Iraqi Kurdistan, when Saddam Hussein kicked out from the area, and people basically set up and formed their own council and commune, and they came together. They tried to control everything, from the rich people and also from they wanted to control the government's administration and leave it for the people themselves to manage it. But unfortunately, because the Kurdistan Democratic Party and PUK, the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, basically, when they came back, and with the support of regional governments and also the United States and the Britain, they tried to squeeze them, and in the end they managed to kick them out to control the situation. So my point is here, if they have a people, I mean, if they have a fighter, they say, put it in that way, not the military, if they have a self-defense, basically, that wasn't easy for the PUK or KDP to kick them out. So I think in this circumstances, which is we have in Rojava and in Turkey, you cannot abandon that thing. You are not in a favor. I personally am not in a favor, and I'm sure you're not in a favor of the military or the fighting as a tool for independency or for what you want to be. But sometimes you are forced to do that. So that you are attacked. What are you doing in that case? You have to fight back. If people is attacking you with the hand, you fight back with the hand. If people attacking you with the knife, you cannot fight back with the hand. Obviously, you know. So you have to try to get something to make a balance between you and your opponent.
Okay, so to move on to then, so you were talking about how we can tell what the future is going to be, but what future would you like to see in the region?
What I like basically is, just before I say that, I think two things is very, very important for that experiment to be successful. We cannot say won't be successful or will be successful, because it's a long way, and still it's a baby. Even it's not a young man or young lady, that experiment is still baby, need to look after it very, very long. I think two things is very, very important at the moment. If something or something even less than what happened in Rojava happened in a regional country, even if it's not a regional country in Iraq and Iran, with this, it's very crucial to support that. Because at the moment you have a KRG in Iran, in Iraqi Kurdistan, Kurdistan regional government, obviously doesn't support Rojava, doesn't support PKK, doesn't support PYD, but has no power to fight to them, and is so close to Turkey, and even in the general election of the Turkey, rather than going to do a propaganda for the HDP, is contributed or given AKPA $50 million, you know, for the election. I mean, so one thing is what we need is that is important, and the second thing is the international solidarity and help from everybody, which is they put their faith in that experiment. So that is obviously it takes to the bright future. That's what I really want to see. I do not want that movement to defeat. I don't want really, when I'm saying defeat, I don't mean in military, because this, when it comes to military and economically, I myself it's maybe it's not right opinion to say that, because you cannot say things to people, and it's a nasty thing to say, yes, that movement to be defeated militarily rather than economically, because militarily, even if it's defeat, it's always the scams up rising again. But when it comes to economically, no way, because there are so many reasons about that. So I do not want to see that route and to be defeated, not by Turkey, not by KRG, not by Syria, because there's so many threats in there, not by the ISIS and Nusra and Ahrar Sham, which is another fanatical terrorist organization, because you know it's a Rojava has been threatened and surrendered by so many enemy. And apart from that, the political Kurdish political party, they are the main enemy for the Rojava, which is they belong to KRG and they are funded by KRG, by Masoud Barzani. So I do not, is if it's not just about that, even I do not want to take that thing, is take the route of rebuilding or reconstruction of Kobani or whole Rojava by global financial institution, by big corporation, Western country or United States or Turkey or any other country, which is that is a very, very easy way and very dangerous way to defeat any opposition in anywhere, especially the movement in Rojava. So I want that. I would like, he said once, so that's why I'm saying I want. I would like basically to see the future. I would like to be Rojava to be a beacon for the, at least for the region, not to disappoint all these young people in Syria, in Rojava, and even in the other parts of Kurdistan, in Syria, in Iraq. And again, obviously, many of us, although I personally don't be disappointed even whatever happened, because I look at the realistic, the revolution cannot be happen, can be happened, but cannot be survived unless you have international solidarity, unless you have extended. So while I see that thing, is while I believe in that, I never ever get disappointed, but I'm sure many people will be disappointed about that.
So that was Zahir Bahir talking about his hopes for the future and the new society that's being built in Syrian Kurdistan. So that's it for this week. Yodet will be back next week. If you want to find out more about Zahir and Zahir's writings, keep an eye on the Circle Day website this weekend when we put up the show. I'll add a lot of links to what he's written, and there's an audio from his talk last year at the book fair. But before we go, we couldn't really let the big news story of the week pass without some kind of comment. It cheered us up on Monday morning. So all I'll say at this point is, playing us out, here's Nine Inch Nails with Piggy.